Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Keeping It Young, where Dave and Bethley share practical lessons from God's Word about marriage, family, and ministry life. They desire to encourage, edify, and equip you as you navigate these important matters in your own life. Today, Dave and Bethley continue their series on wisdom from the Proverbs, specifically in the area of influences that kill potential from chapter 13. So let those miles fade away between you and the Youngs as they share their hearts and experiences with you, wherever you might be in the world.
And so here's a couple of things, Beth, and I want to say to you as we have the rest of our time today. Think about this. The best influences are those that impart righteousness and wisdom. The best influences in your life and in my life are those that impart to us righteousness and wisdom. And the best influences in our children's life are those that impart righteousness and wisdom. And I thought of at least four areas. I'd be curious if our audience can think of more, but we have at least four areas. Obviously, the point Solomon is making is parents. Moms and dads are to impart righteousness and wisdom to their children. What does Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1 say?
The chapter begins with, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke."
Notice it starts with a dad. This chapter that has in it the idea of influence starts with saying to a son, "Son, if you're wise, you will hear dad's instruction." And what that tells us, dads, and by application, moms, what it tells us is that parents have phenomenal influence in their children's life. And what we know is that it can be a good influence and it can also be a bad influence. We have seen parents who were horrible influences in their children's life and damaged their children for years to come, and sometimes for a lifetime. But the idea of Solomon here is that the best influences is a mom and dad, the best influence is a mom and dad that impart righteousness and wisdom to their children.
Yes.
And what all is involved in that? For crying out loud, there's a whole sermon here. It's training, teaching, talking, hours of influence. How do parents influence? Just without going into huge detail, you know, those who are listening, they're raising little ones. How do you start taking steps to give wise influence to a little one?
Well, don't buy the philosophy of our world that you should allow your child to learn on their own. There are some things that they will learn on their own, but you certainly, you know, I think every parent would be compassionate enough to not want their child to learn on their own in touching a hot stove or a hot iron. And so you would direct your child there. You would teach them, you would train them. You'd say, "No, don't touch that. It hurts." So don't stop there though with the parenting with the little ones. We do have to embrace biblical philosophy of you are put in that child's life to train them. You are put in that child's life to direct them. So be the influence right away. We just got a message from some very young parents who were asking for some advice just about training their infant in sleeping. And there are some practical things that you can do there. But even starting even as an infant in directing that child's heart to the way you want them to go. Do you want that child to lay still while you change their diaper? Well, then you are the parent. You direct that instead of saying, "Well, they don't really like it. They don't want to lay still. And I don't want to, you know, cause them any difficulty or distress and having to lay still, so you just fight with your baby. Why do that?" So direct them right away as a parent, just taking all the practical steps, but then just those spiritual steps as well, right from the very beginning, quoting verses to them, teaching them the Bible stories, taking them to church, making sure that they have biblical influence in their life from you as the parent, not just passing it off to the Christian school or to the grandparents or to the church or to the Sunday school teacher. You as the parent have that influence.
Sure. And there's so many other things that we could say there too, that, you know, have a time of reading the Bible to them and teaching them Bible truth and talking through issues. When you're watching TV with your children, there's any number of opportunities to pause it and say, "What do you think about what just happened right there?" And the Bible commands us to do that. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're to talk about the Word of God when we're sitting in the house, when we are sitting at the table, when we are just, you know, sitting around, sharing or watching TV or laughing at a video.
Right.
We are to make the influence positive. If we don't, the world will make the influence negative.
Well, I think too, I don't know, in our culture, I feel like Christian parents are abdicating in one of two ways. Either they are accepting a faulty philosophy, and can I just say again, the gentle parenting philosophy of just leave the child to themselves, they will eventually come around. We are already seeing secular sociologists are saying this is not working. A child left to themselves, as the Bible says, brings his mother to shame. So people are either in Christianity adopting worldly philosophies of parenting, or they're abdicating because, and I can identify with this one, they're tired. They have been busy all day long. And so then to come in the evenings and your children are around you at the table, what do you want to do? You just want to get it done. Okay, everybody eat. Okay, everybody do homework. Okay, everybody get ready for bed. Okay, everybody in bed so mom and dad can just crash. And to have those heartfelt conversations, your teenager coming in and they love to come in late at night and talk about heavy things. You're tired. You don't want to influence them in righteousness. And so many times as a Christian parent, we can say, well, they have a youth pastor. They have a youth pastor's wife. They have Sunday school teachers. They go to Christian school, or we homeschool. Surely I don't need to put this extra effort in. But we do as parents. We have to put in that extra effort.
Yeah, that's so, so good. And if you got teenagers, you know, moms and dads, teens are often in our culture expected to have friends and girlfriends and boyfriends and teams and, you know, coaches. And we always have to be aware when those are good influences, what a blessing. But when they are leading our children's hearts away from God and in the direction of unrighteousness, mm-hmm. what a curse they are to the family. So the point we're making is that the best influences are those that impart righteousness and wisdom. And we think parents can do that. I believe laws can do that when we make proper rules for our children. And you know, I heard a podcast recently in which the author, who is actually a secular psychiatrist, he said the most successful people in our generation are those from very conservative homes. And the question was asked of him, why do you think that is so? And he said, it is because conservative homes have clear expectations for their children and clear limitations and follow through on those. And somehow, and he said, I don't know that we fully understand this, which I kind of chuckled at because I believe the Bible, therefore I feel like I fully understand it. But he said, and he had an earned doctorate in psychiatry, he said, for some reasons we don't understand, when our young people are raised with proper laws and restrictions and clear expectations, they are happier, they are more fulfilled, and they tend to be more successful than their friends and peers. And I thought, here's just another reminder of where we are today. It matters that influences in your life and your children's are those that impart righteousness and wisdom. And can Bethany and I, as we close today, can we maybe just zero in on one more truth here? We believe with all of our heart that adults are better influences than peers. This is probably one of the most startling things we would say to some people, because especially in the teenage world of our day, the idea is that teenagers are to be teenagers, adults are to stay out of their life.
Right. And it's such an unpopular opinion to say your teenager needs really godly adult influence.
Yeah. And you can see it in the way even teens respond to adults. I have met so many teenagers that to say hello to them is a bother to them. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious they look at you like you're speaking French, or they look really bothered. Sometimes they just don't hide their emotions. The emotion they're showing is, who do you think you are speaking to me? You're like an old boomer or whatever, you know, you can know all they're thinking, obviously.
Right.
But Beth and I have found with our own children that adults were better influences than peers. Now, it's not wrong to have friends. Each of our children had really good friends. And by the way, our children's best friends were their siblings. Our boys' best friends were each other, and our boys were best friends with their sisters. Adults are better influences than peers, even though it's okay to have friends that are their age.
Yeah, so we're not saying that your children should not have peer friends. We're just saying, don't swallow the lie that, oh my goodness, if my child, especially my teenager, just isn't reveling in all of the teenage friendships, and I'm forcing upon them time with their grandparents or time with their youth pastor or time with us, that's just making them miss out on so much. No, it's not. It's not at all.
Absolutely. And by the idea of adults, we mean that literally adults, but we also mean that literally in the idea of wisdom. when your child has hours of TikTok influence from influencers who have no experience, no wisdom, no discernment, no direction, in fact, they're wicked and evil and wrong, then we're damaging our children. So adult influences are better than peer influences. And just in a practical sense, I think that's true in generations gone by. Grandparents had massive influence in the young people's lives, aunts, uncles. In generations gone by, the most powerful influences in any young person's life would have been mom, dad, and grandfather, grandmother on both sides, as well as aunts and uncles. And I know, I was just thinking about our children, because of our travels and all, were not as much around my dad. But is it not true that when you get around our children, you will often hear stories about Papaw said, Papaw said, Mamaw said, Papaw said. And even your dad, we were a little bit closer to your dad because we were based out of his church. So we did see your mom and dad more. But there are things our children will say automatically now because your dad said it. And I'm thinking right off about our children's view of alcohol.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
And in Bethley's dad, one time, well, more than one time, every time he would see an alcohol sign or a commercial, he had something he would say to our children that was funny to our children. Dad never laughed. He just said it.
Right.
And we, if you want to know, you have to write us.
Yes, it was a vivid word picture for them about what alcohol truly is.
And so our children to this day will see that and they'll be, well, as Papa said.
Yes.
And they quote that. But what a powerful influence in the hearts of our children.
Yes. So if you have godly parents in your life, then let your children be around their grandparents. Let them be influenced by them. If you have godly siblings, then let your children be influenced by them.
And grandparents, step in there. Grandparents, spend time with your little ones. Spend time with the teenagers. Write them, text them, talk to them, take them places, do things with them. It is important that we help our young people to be influenced by adults. And there was a couple of others that really impacted our children. We travel with a lot of young evangelists who influenced our kids.
Right.
We had youth pastors that we would meet in our meetings. There are several youth pastors that still stand out to our children because they spent some time with our children and influenced them positively.
Yes.
And even some pastors. I'm thinking of the one pastor, and I wouldn't call any names, John Flanders, but we shall call him John Flanders because that is, in fact, his name. But Pastor Flanders, we were in his church in Michigan some years ago, and I was teaching geometry, and he came in and would sit at the table in the fellowship hall where I was teaching geometry, and several times through the week laughed and leaned over and said to our children, I have never used that. I have never used that.
So was this a wise, righteous, godly influence in our children's life?
No, that's
life?
A good question, but our no, children really. Remember that.
Brother Flanders is a wise, godly man, yes.
And it was just a humor. So our children took what was a challenging concept and laugh about it. They remember it in the sense of humor. So there was bosses and work relationships. We think about the Chick-fil-A where our children worked and how a boss would influence our son or our daughter. So moms and dads, I'm just reminding you that adults are better influences than peers.
Such an important series on influences that kill potential from Proverbs 13. I hope you were helped by this episode. Join us tomorrow as we come up for some air from our study of the Proverbs. Since love is in the air and Valentine's Day is on Friday. Wow, can you believe that? This is Michael Barnett. If you'd like more information or would like to hear more of these edifying episodes of Keeping It Young, just visit keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a production of Keeping It Young. So thanks for listening and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.